Oh, I didn't know there was a camera too. Cool. Hi, I'm Patrick. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is 2/16/15, so it's 6+ years now. I'll try to stay in chronological order. I liked Leslie's take on it. Did you ever see that movie Memento, where like it starts there and goes back there? And I totally get it, though. I've heard Leslie's story, and she's an amazing human being. If you are a female in the program, you should get to know her, get her number after the meeting. So, I was born, and it sucked. I am the youngest of 5 boys in an Irish Catholic family. The biggest age gap is 5.5 years between me and my brother, so I am clearly an accident. And it's always felt like that. Growing up, you know, I had brothers, and they were all hellions to my parents, and, you know, I learned from them and learned what to do and not to do and how to get away with stuff. And I was just always treated like the baby, and a lot of my brothers moved out when right around the same time that I started drinking and doing drugs. First time I got drunk and high, I was at my neighbor's Dustin's house, and he invited girls over, and I, you know, accidentally lost my virginity that night to one of those girls. And so that was the summer going into high school, and that was my mentality, that was my direct association with drugs and alcohol, get me late, and that's it. And so I had this mentality going into high school, and I felt like I was like I was ahead of the curve, like I figured it out before everyone else. And I smoked weed every day, and I drank every weekend, and until I got caught, you know, and then go from there. So I played golf. That was just kind of what worked for me, and I was on the golf team, captain, all that stuff, and I practiced ruthlessly growing up. I played in competitive outside of high school, and that was kind of the direct approach was, I'm going to just hop on this ship, and it'll help me with my crappy grades, and I'll get into Florida State. And I had a scholarship lined up with Florida State until the drug dogs came to school, and I did not realize that my life was going to change dramatically, because I put all my eggs in that basket. I didn't apply to other schools or anything. It was my junior year, so I was already having senioritis. And, man, I got in a lot of trouble, and my grades just went. I had to keep a 3.8, and I did all these makeup classes, and I had like a 2.8. leaving high school, and all my friends went to universities, and that's when like I learned how to do this thing called self-pity. And it felt really good sitting in my shit all the time, and like, woe is me. And I just kind of rode on that train too, and I went to community college. I called it 13th grade, and like, I would just, I don't know, like, definitely wasn't that university Van Wilder lifestyle that I was expecting. It was like, hey, we're all sad. And or maybe that was just me projecting, I don't know. And yeah, you know, I had my like first real girlfriend in high school, and she was awful to me. And I didn't realize like how unhealthy our relationship was, because again, I'm young, dumb, and it just didn't work out. And but that heartbreak hurt, and that was like real heartbreak. So I started drinking. I started finding out that painkillers can help emotional pain as well. And they were really affordable back then. And I just kind of went off the rails with that. And I started hoovering schneef all the time, and just I was doing coke a lot, and I was just, I did not do well in school. Like, you had to stay in class the whole time, not just sign your name and walk out, which I've done multiple times at different colleges, different state community colleges. I'll bounce around too. So anyway, I got really hammered one night, and this is when I stopped doing pills, but I substituted by drinking Seagram 7 whiskey. I would drink a handle like throughout an entire day. Like, I was just going nuts, and I was drinking energy drinks just to like for not passing out. And it got so wild that like my best friend in high school growing up was back in town, and you know, we were having a party at his house, and I got obliterated drunk and woke up in just my boxers in my neighbor's front yard by a paramedic, and it didn't work out well. And so the next day I call my friend, he doesn't answer. I call a couple other people, they're like, you were a complete ass. You got in a fight with this kid, and his face got smashed on the ground by accident. Well, it wasn't an accident, but threw up in his pool, and I guess that's not good. It messes up the whole filter system, and it was just like chaos. And he came to my parents' house. I was staying there. He rang the doorbell, and he told me, listen, you were just awful last night. I don't like who you are. I don't want to be your friend anymore. And I was like, whatever. And that was probably more painful than that first breakup with that girl, because that was my boy. That, like, we were friends for years, and like for him to just like cut me off, I'm like, I was just partying, dude. What's the big deal? Apparently, a lot of people were kind of sick of me blacking out and throwing up in their sinks and stuff like that, and just debauchery. All right, so I'm going to skip through all, it got worse with the drugs and all that stuff, and I went to rehab 5 times. I've been to 8 or 9 different state-ran detox facilities. I've been arrested twice. This all happened between 19 till I turned 23 when I got sober. And this last time, I had some sobriety before, so I'll talk about that real quick. I had a little over a year, and I was not acting like a person in AA. I was working all the time, I was obsessed with girls, I was just acting like an asshole. My sponsor, how dare he, got married and went on a honeymoon to Africa for a month, and I just never got someone else to call during that month. I started skipping my meetings, and like next thing I know, I'm like gambling at the casino, and like that was totally just filling that void, because I was dry as hell, had no God in my life, and like I don't know, this, it just wasn't someone that I consider, if I'm looking back, I was not someone that was working the principles of AA. Anyway, so I went to the casino one night, and I'm all excited. I'm like, I got some money saved up. I'm going to make it big tonight, quit my freaking career as a pizza delivery boy, and it's going to be great. And I lost it all, and I was devastated, and started drinking. And from the first sip of that alcohol to 6 weeks later, it was all gone. The girl, the car, the job, just friends, just everything's gone. I just gave it all away. So I called my family one last time, and I'm like, hey, I fucked up again. Because they heard this story multiple times. And I'm like, I need to go to rehab, I think. And they're like, yeah, good luck with that. You definitely need to go. Good luck with that. And they hung up on me. And it was like kind of like those oh shit moments, because I'm like, oh, no one's gonna make me do it this time. This sucks. And I knew, like, it was like a crossroads. Like, I knew what I could continue to do to the very end, where I end up trying to kill myself again, or I could go to rehab. So I went to rehab. It's not open anymore. It was called HCC. And I was, like, just empty inside. I was just devastated. And my parents didn't want to talk to me. They didn't even believe I was in rehab. I like had to call them. Like, no, I'm here. I promise. You can come here and visit on the weekend. And so they came, and they weren't very happy with me, obviously. And they did that classic terrible question. What's going to be different this time? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. I'm just going to show you. And that was it. Like, I didn't, after I, like, I said that to them, I'm like, I don't have this, sentence is over. Like, I'm just, I don't have to bullshit them. I don't have to say anything else. I can just do it. And so I got a new sponsor, and this new guy, well, my new sponsor at the time, I've known him for years and years and years, and he said, he's from Mississippi, he goes, buddy, I've been seeing you in and out for years. Why don't you go through the steps with me? And I said, I'm like, back and forth with him about it, and he goes, listen, do you own the stuff that you did during your addiction, during your alcoholism? I said, yeah, I own it. I'm like, I don't blame anyone for that. He goes, okay, well, are you ready to own your sobriety? And I was like, whoa. Like, I don't know why that just, like, hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good deal. And sure as shit, he put me through, the most thorough step work I've ever gone through. And I hated every second of it. But, something was different in me that time. I was just so emotionally empty and spiritually bankrupt and all those things. And I just, I just put my head down and do the work. And, rehab, halfway house, that stuff. And then it is, I don't know, something changed. I couldn't tell you what exactly changed. I think that was the psychic change going into rehab that last time. And I knew I had to do something or I'm going to die soon. And then, somewhere between, I wouldn't say my 9th step and, 11th step, life kind of hit me. And I was like, oh, everything's okay right now. And, I'm content for the first time in my life. And I can sleep at night and I don't feel that anxiety, that itch anymore. And I don't know. I was finally calm. God bless you. Going through the steps. My favorite steps are 6 and 7 now. Drop the Rock. If you guys get a chance to read that, it resonated with me more than ever, and something that I continuously have to work on, which is my character defects. And I can't just say I'm not going to be an asshole today. I have to do some steps to get like that. And after repetition, I feel like my life started changing, and other people started pointing out to me how I was different. I have a friend, Steven, today, who I've known for a long time, and he always likes to tell my wife how much a piece of shit I used to be, and in early sobriety, and I get it now, and so my life's evolved dramatically. I got sober in Tampa, and I had an opportunity to do something I always wanted to do, which was to professionally work with guys in early sobriety, and I had an opportunity in St. Pete, moved out there, didn't know anyone. I felt like I was in a whole different state. But I went to meetings out there, and I was super, nervous. I felt like a newcomer again, and I went up to these guys. There's a group called Blind Pass Group, and I went to the meeting. It was great, and I went up to these group of guys after the meeting. I'm like, hey, I'm Patrick. I'm new to St. Pete. And they're like, cool, you want to come get sushi? So I did. And then I'm still friends with a couple of those guys today. And, it's cool to see their lives change because of AA. My life has dramatically changed. My home group is Friday Night Men's Keep It Simple group over at Club Yana, 8:15. We focus on the first 3 steps. And I can say that the in-person meeting is way better than the Zoom meeting. All right? Just telling people there, too. I found my crew there. If I can say anything to you guys in early sobriety, find your tribe. Find those 3, 4 people, maybe 10 people, I don't know, but don't get crazy. But that you vibe with, you know them, you can call them out of the blue, they say what's up. I do a lot of driving. I did a lot of driving today, and I talked to a bunch of my sponsee brothers and talked to my sponsor on a regular basis. He moved to Ocala recently, and that's a different change for us. It's good, though. He just got 30 years yesterday. But I don't get that. It doesn't rub off on me. Yeah, it's interesting today. Like, I'm available to sponsor. I haven't had a sponsee in a few months, some of my old sponsees continue to grow with new sponsors, and I got to see them, like, their lives totally change, and it's amazing to watch. It's kind of like your children, like, growing up. Speaking of children, I got married. I found my wife in AA. I don't always suggest that, but it worked out for me, and it was great. And I'm going to talk about it. I went to a service meeting for YPAW. Didn't know anyone. I was like, I gotta keep meeting people. And it was a terrible board meeting. I won't get into the specifics, but it was pretty terrible. And I just went up to her and I just said hi. Didn't think anything of it. I wasn't looking for a relationship. Neither was she at the time. And I think, just not to sound cheesy, like, that's why it worked so well for both of us, is just not out there trying to force it to happen anymore. I'm like, it just kind of happened. And there was a little nudging, but, you know, sure shit, we got married, and now we have two boys, a 2-year-old and a 10-year-old. I don't suggest you have your children back-to-back like that, but it's amazing at the same time. Feels like we have twins. A lot of diapers. That is the, like, looking back on, like, all the shenanigans that I didn't even tell you about tonight, and all the bullshit that I got into, and the life-threatening situations, and just, like, the shady lifestyle during addiction, and then, like, my poor behavior when I'm not addressing a spiritual answer to my life. Like, my life today is great. Like, and my sponsor used to always say, buddy, you're going to have to dream new dreams. Did you do the sign? I didn't see it. I thought you did the sign. I'm sorry. 15 more minutes? All right. So, he said, buddy, you gotta have to dream new dreams. And I didn't really know what he meant in early sobriety when he said that, other than, like, yeah, I'm gonna get sober, and then, like, I'm gonna want more out of life. And it was the opposite. I started getting a lot more stuff in my life, and, like, I continued to grow in my sobriety and my spirituality. And, like, it's, I can't describe it except, it feels better than drugs. And I know some people don't always agree with that, but, like, it definitely does at this point in my life. That isn't the solution for me anymore. Life still happens. Life still sucks sometimes. And, like, you wake up and, like, you don't want to deal with it. But I've learned that it's like when you want, like, you don't want to go to a meeting, but then you go and then you feel better after. It's kind of like the same thing when I get out of bed in the morning. Like, I don't want to get out. Once I start doing it, like, I'm happy about it. And, you know, today I'm able to be a son in my family. So I used to be like the problem child, which is hard to top when I compare myself to my brothers. But I used to be the problem child. And today, a therapist would say I am the family hero, is what the title would say. And, like, I'm now the go-to brother for problems and helping them out. And, like, it's amazing. It's also, like, terrifying because I'm the youngest, and why am I in charge? But, yeah, it's been great. I got to see a lot of people in my life come and go, and I got to see a lot of people pass away because of the disease, and I got to see a lot of people triumph in sobriety. Like, people, you're like, who, they probably said the same thing about me, like, that guy's never going to stay sober, he's never going to get it. And then you see someone like that. Now I don't do that at all, because I'm like, who the fuck knows? Like, who knows if Marlon's going to do it today or tomorrow, you know? And, sorry, he did ask me to speak. Thank you for asking me to speak. And so, you know, working with, you know, and what the work I do in early, with guys in early sobriety, I don't consider 12-step work because it's my job. And I think that was kind of drilled into me in early sobriety. Like, it's not 12-step work if you give a guy a ride if you ask for gas money. And I was like, okay, so you're just giving a guy a ride. Like, you don't have to go around telling everyone how great you did. And, like, that was another thing I learned. Like, when you do a good deed, like, you don't have to film it. And, like, you don't have to post it on the internet. And, you know, I stopped looking for that approval from my parents. I don't know if anyone can relate getting that approval from your parental figures growing up, and playing competition with your siblings on trying to be the better person. And like at the end of the day, like I stopped participating in that this last time I got sober, and like holy shit, I started feeling a lot happier, and I was more willing to talk to my parents. He says, I think I grew up setting the bar so low that anything I did was an accomplishment. And so now that I'm sober, I don't do that to myself as much anymore. I set my expectations how they should be of myself and everyone around me. Everyone around me, I have zero expectations, so I don't get disappointed as much. And, my life today, last year kind of sucked. I'm sure everyone can relate. This year is getting a little bit better. And, the Zoom stuff, like, I thinking about Leslie saying, the Zoom stuff is just what you got to do. We have to adapt. We have to move forward. And I think what I learned about COVID is, like, the ultimate level of acceptance, right? Like, I only have control of myself. And because of that, like, full understanding worldwide, like everyone has, everyone's going through their own thing, and I can't judge, and I can't do anything, I can't yell at people. I just have to do my own thing, stay in my path, and protect myself and my family for whatever cost. So I think that's the biggest lesson I took out of the pandemic. The pandemic. That's how my sponsor says it. I have friends today. I didn't have friends in addiction. And when you don't answer other people's phone calls and then you're mad when they don't answer your phone calls, that's how I used to be back in the day. The last time I was sober and I'd be in a bind, I'd call people and they wouldn't answer. I'm like, how dare they? Yeah, I haven't talked to them since rehab, but God. And today I have friends today that, come and support me at meetings. And, we go out to dinner, and like everyone I surround myself today is in sobriety. I mean, and I'm okay with that. I remember being 20 years old at my first rehab, which was a shit whole place in Sarasota, Florida. You're telling me I can't drink ever again? Like, that's insane. I'm 20 years old. Come on. And birthday's coming up soon. And then, like, I learned, like, the one day at a time stuff. And, I got some crazy stories about the halfway house I was at with Billy over there. And, they're great examples of, like, what I can be sober and still get myself in a lot of trouble. And that's just another lesson I've learned, is that it's not about the alcohol and drugs. Like, it's always been my behavior. And if you've ever been in rehab and been on a behavior contract like I was, you would understand after the fact that, like, I was just acting out of control, and I didn't have a higher power in my life to guide me. I didn't utilize the tools of the big book, the steps, and my sponsor at the time. I was just going through the motions, treating it like homework. And today it's the textbook to a very, very happy life. And that happiness comes from within. I don't have to be heavily reliant on my happiness with my being codependent with my partner. And I didn't not learn that when I was out there running and gunning. So how much longer? 5 minutes? Yeah. All right. Sorry. I was thinking of Koala House. I'm very fortunate today that I get to work with guys in early sobriety. I'm gonna talk about it. I own and operate Halfway House, and I was inspired by the Halfway House that I went to. And I'm talking about work because I ran out of stuff to talk about. Me and Billy and a lot of guys that still stay sober went to this Halfway House, and it was great and it served its purpose, but it was basically falling apart around us. And every time it rained, the roof leaked. And we lived in squalor, but that's what, like, that squalor is what, like, bonded us together, right? Because we were all in that same ship. And, like, man, can you believe this place? I know, it sucks. But we stayed there, and, like, we continued to do dumb things. And, like, smoking inside, that's a dumb thing. And because our behavior didn't change, and, I don't know. We saw it, but there was a value there in those guys that I was with. And it was, I mean, there is no price on that relationship with those guys that have stayed sober over the years, that my best man at my wedding was, I met in my halfway house, you know. My brother got sober. And that's really hard too, having family members suffer from this disease. And I know this is not a, adults with alcoholic parents, something like that. I haven't been to that meeting. But dealing with a brother who's in active addiction is super tough and heartbreaking. And I remember sharing about it at Club Yana one night, and I am crying my eyes out to 100 guys in this room about my brother, who's a shithead at the time. I really was mad at him, but I didn't want him to die. And, like, I got to experience what everyone in my life was experiencing with me. And, like, that sucked. Then he got sober. And I didn't believe a word he said for, like, the first 6 months. And, like, he went to the Sally and, like, did that. And, like, I was like, as soon as he gets out, you know, he's off to the races. Well, then, like, he had the option to stay, and he did. And, like, he started doing these actions that I got to observe from the outside looking in. And I got to see the change. And I remember that it has nothing to do with what I say I'm going to do. It has to do with my actions. And my actions are always going to speak louder than my words. I can come up here and tell you how great of a human being I am, but if I'm double parked or I'm parked in a handicapped spot, and, you know, it's kind of defeats the purpose, you know? I'm just being a douchebag. And so I don't have to be like that. Thank God. Because it's exhausting to be like that. It really is. And doing the right thing today is, you know, so much easier than that shit. You know, I used to get panic attacks because I would lie to this person. I would tell another person a different lie. But if those two people talked, like, I'm out. Like, oh, man. And, like, that, thank God I don't have to live like that anymore. You know, this is turning into a gratitude meeting. I'm thinking about how shitty my life used to be and how great it is today. And it's only through work with a sponsor and getting through those steps, and then, like, continuing to practice these principles in all my affairs. And I used to just giggle at the word affairs back in the day, but now I, like, understand that, like, inside a meeting, outside a meeting, I'm still a member of AA, and I need to act accordingly. And it's a big responsibility, for real. So anyway, I'm just gonna wrap it up. But I'm so happy that you guys got to hear me speak and let me speak. And I appreciate it. And if you're ever hesitant or anything, just reach out. Talk to people. Just say, hey, I'm having a bad day, Mark. What are you doing? And then you're talking about Mark. And you stop thinking about your shit. Thanks. Appreciate it.